Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to another episode of the Deliberate Practice series on USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. And joining me, as he does every week, is our guest host of this series, Andy Ryland. Andy, great to be talking ball with you here as we get late into the regular season.
Well, we definitely just got our first cold front out here in Indianapolis. It's in the low 50s today. My kids had to wear coats to school, so it's definitely football time where things are getting a little more serious across last games of the season, final playoff pushes, or for some of our states, maybe even entry round of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We're at a time of the year where there's a lot of meaningful games, and it might not be for the league championship, but usually you see a lot of rivalry games scheduled for a little bit later in the year. You certainly have, you know, the playoffs beginning, like you said, in Indiana, some schools coming up here pretty quick. So there's a lot of games with a lot of emotion around them. Even, you know, for the teams that maybe aren't making it to the playoffs, it's the seniors' last game and a lot of emotions for them. You know, a lot of, I want to leave it all out on the field in those guys. And, you know, the funny thing with that, Andy, and share a little story here. This past weekend, my stepson, he's a junior, and he was player of the week here in several media outlets for his efforts in their win over their rival. Really is a game that probably secured them a win, that probably secured him a playoff spot as well. But, you know, the town right next door to theirs, a lot of emotion around this game. He played in it before as a sophomore, so it's not his first time, but, you know, he's got a bigger role on his team right now as the tailback, and he starts at safety, really doesn't come off the field. And had a great game, 33 carries, 206 yards, two touchdowns, made a lot of plays on defense, was always around the ball. But as we went through and I watched his film on Saturday and talked to him about some of the things that I saw, it was clear that on some of those plays, he was probably letting his emotions get the best of them in his desire to just completely physically dominate an opponent, to win a play, and in some ways forgetting about technique. And I showed him a couple things. For example, there was one play they ran outside of him. He was a safety coming up, filling a lane and trying to turn everything back into those linebackers. And he really put the wood to this player who was coming to block him. But in engaging that guy fully, that guy, even though physically he didn't dominate that play, that blocker won the play because the ball got outside and into the end zone. Unfortunately, it didn't, you know, hurt them. It was, you know, they had a pretty lengthy lead on this team in the win. But, you know, I picked out a couple other examples where he was full bore delivering all the contact into a blocker, but not winning the play. You know, I talked to him about one of our techniques from our contact system, the single pillar, the long arm, right? And playing longer. And look what happened here. You know, you have the outside. You know, this guy is trying to get to your outside. If you could long arm him right here and keep outside leverage, now, even if that back tries to go inside of him, you have the ability to rip across and get to where you need to be because you're not fully engaged. You're longer. He can't get into you, etc. I said, so I want you to work on that this week and take a look at it. Then the other one was on the offensive side of the ball. And obviously he had a great game. In fact, I think the first drive, 65 yards, was all him into the end zone. But as we looked at a couple of the plays, you know, they were running a lot of gap schemes, which typically you want to hit those tight and then expand, you know, A to B to C as the play might get bounced a little bit. And we looked at one particular one on a counter where if you just look at the blocker probably got ripped a little bit in the film session because it looks like, well, this guy just didn't make his block. But when we put a reference point on the field, in this particular case, it was the hash, and we looked at where he was initially on his footwork, he got way too wide. And now typically that defender who has to go through that trap block, whether it's with a wrong arm or, you know, physically beating it, however they play their technique, you know, he really had more ways to go. He was able to get upfield and cause some problems where typically that guard, if that play goes upfield, you know, there's times where he's telling, like, just let it go and turn up and lead up through. He's out of the play. But because of the width of the footwork there, he made it very difficult for his lineman. And what did he want to do? Well, man, I want to get more yards. I'm doing well. I'm going to bust this thing to the outside now because it's tight in here. And it's about having that patience. It's about understanding, you know, the technical and the tactical side of all plays as they're designed, whether you're fitting on defense, whether you're running and having a certain vision on an offensive play, et cetera. A young kid especially getting caught up in the emotion of a big game can set some of those things to the side. So as we look at this today, we're looking at opportunities, again, to kind of create some of that high-intensity stuff in practice while not necessarily having always the high contact, but kind of getting that feel and being able to help them navigate the emotions of a game that might cause them to do some things like I mentioned.
Well, first off, congratulations to your stepson. It's an awesome achievement, and thanks for sharing that story with us, because it is personal, and I think there's always a little more emotion to that, if you will, if there's the theme for today. And I think at that time of year, so it is a great conversation on how personal emotions affect our outcomes and what coaches can do to try to work around those, because football is a physical game. And we want to win the physicality, but there's a fine line that we probably don't often talk about when that focus may be on trying to win your physical battle, whether it's speed to the outside, whether it's power through a block, actually takes you out of position. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, we don't get the wrecking ball technique where you can just, you know, be on a reckless rush is what we would call it when you had no responsibilities but try to get to the quarterback. But outside of that call, you've got to play within the framework of your defense. So whether it's your rival or whether it's the playoffs or whether it's just you're having one of those days where you're battling another guy, how do you deal with those and stop trying to beat him to the point that you sacrifice what may be best for the team, or maybe you end up getting a negative grade for a really positive physical play because you were not in position to execute your role specifically?
So, Andy, that takes us to the part that we like to talk about here, the deliberate practice portion of that. So with that in mind and looking at how we can prepare our players to play in these big games, you know, especially the guys who maybe haven't been there before, while at the same time staying sound on the technical and tactical side of this as well.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple techniques we can look at, and then also there's some situations that we can look at. So I had a conversation that kind of falls around a similar line, and I think this is a great opportunity for coaches to maybe talk through some things situationally, or maybe set up some situational drills, where I was talking to a high-level coach, and he was mentioning about how on third down, the other team had completed like this, you know, a short under. So we'll say a 4-yard route, and it was 3rd and 7. And the defender kind of, we'll say, made the choice that he was going to try to get that, you know, front up, knock back, absolutely, you know, dominate the tackle. But what was actually needed in that situation was simply to put the player on the ground and get off the field. That wasn't the time for like this, you know, big gargantuan highlight reel hit. Now, if the other team gives it to you, that's obviously we're going to take what's there. You know, we always talk about playing what's in front of us and dynamic decision making. But as we get closer to these meaningful games, I think there's a great coaching opportunity that, you know, on our third down periods, are we making sure we're talking to our players? You know, how many of us have just done third down period? And I can tell you, as a player myself and as a coach, I did a terrible job of this. I always knew the third down game plan, and we always, you know, repped it and practiced it, but I never really truly fully understood, like, conceptually. And I think there's something to be said for that. Hey guys, third and long, right? Maybe we're going to run a bunch of zone blitzes because our goal is we want them to catch it in front of us, and we want to come up and make the tackle. Tackle accuracy and getting the ball on the ground is the goal. We're just trying to get off the field here, right? So if that's how we're going to play this, then let's talk through that and then give them, obviously, a healthy dose of plays that's going to challenge their ability. And, you know, at this point in the season, we may not be full tackling. We're into our tracking, but we understand that we need to do that. So this is a great opportunity where I think we've talked about it earlier this series, but about calling out your tackle types can be layered in. Hey, we're going to talk about the importance of third down stops in front of the sticks, that we don't need that smashing hit. So guys, I want us to focus on it. During this drill, during our third down period, I want you to call out the tackle type you're going to make as you make your tag off, so that as a coach, you start seeing if he's reaching for a tackle because he's clearly not there and he's yelling, you know, drive, 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 or form, that he's going to make one of those two tackles. Shoot, we weren't in position for that. That's going to end up yards after contact. That's going to end up a miss. What we probably should have done there is try to snap off a roll. Or if you see the guy, you know, get in tight, get his foot in the hoop, and then yell drive, 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 then you're, hey, opportunity was there, take it. But I find this to be a really useful way in non-contact situations where we don't actually see the completion of the tackle to reinforce the right tackle type for the right situation in one of the most important situations that we have. Then you can replicate that same process, say, with your man coverage, where, again, now we're playing a little different. We're trying to force a turnover. We're trying to get heat on the quarterback. Obviously, if we're a completed pass in man, everyone else has got their backs turned. So we're attacking that a little bit differently. But setting the context of those periods, then telling them, here's the addition to the drill. We want to make sure we're on the same path as far as using the right technique in the right environment when it's third down and stressful and the crowd is yelling because we're home this weekend and playing the rivals and it's going to be crazy, that we make those appropriate decisions, that we don't let the pressure of the moment or overwhelm our ability to recognize the situation, both tactically, you know, hey, third down, what are our goals here? And technically, what's my best choice for skill to make this play right here? And I like this technique a lot because it's non-contact, so it works really well on the season, but it's going to force some cognitive aspect out of your players. And for the coaches, it eliminates a lot of those discussions on, I would have had him, right? You know, the old tag off, I would have had him. Now we can say, hey, well, you wouldn't have had that kind of tackle. Hey, we would have had that kind of tackle. And that can reinforce that we're doing the right thing in all situations.
Yeah, Andy, I love that idea because as I think about it and I look at how we go through the season and, you know, using a lot of thud or tag off, you know, go tag the hip, especially this time of year. I know that's what a lot of people get into now, and I commend them because it's just smart on the contact load for the players. But we do start to lose that focus on exactly what you said. You know, what would I have done? What kind of tackle would I have used in that situation? And that, you know, again, just bringing it to the forefront of their mind, making them do something like calling that tackle type out, whether they're right or wrong, gives you the opportunity to correct them, gives them the understanding they need, and their brain's firing and working in that manner rather than accomplishing the purpose of the drill is to get there and tag off, right? We now are thinking through, even though we physically don't execute all of it, exactly what we need to do on that particular play and in that particular tackle.
Yeah, and you see this all the time, especially with the offensive and the defensive balance, right? Offensive coaches want their ball runners, be it receiver, running back, you know, quarterback, to finish down the field. And so as tacklers tag off, especially if they try to tag off on the backside, you're thinking, well, man, our body position wasn't great for the tackle. That actually would have probably ended up a roll tackle because of our angle and approach into that contact situation. Maybe it was because we were trying to let them run downfield and finish. So again, we're really going to be off the back hip. So I think just bringing attention to that can do wonders. Like I said, I make them call the tackle type out. Good friend of the show, Vincent Digintano, Coach Dig, he said that, you know, he always asks guys after situations like that, would you have tackled him or would you have got him down? Just as a way to, again, put in the head, was your positioning good enough, even on a tag off, that we would have had the type of tackle we're searching for in those big game moments?
I think, too, as we look at, again, you know, how can we best format our practices? What can we do to give our players success? What can we do to adjust, you know, for certain times of the year and what we're looking to do with the physical load? And, you know, that talk through, walk through period, I think is valuable. Now, usually we put it on a Thursday, but, you know, what if we reframed practice a little bit? You know, what if we spent some time on a Monday, which typically is a heavier work day for a lot of people, doing exactly that, going through the game plan, moving the ball around the field, giving it that feeling of, you know, things are moving, we have certain situations, and giving that conceptual understanding of this is what we are looking for on a certain type of play, this is what we are expecting on a certain type of play, that you can control those situations and maybe put a little bit more mental focus at the beginning of the week, sandwich that, you know, you're going to do it at the end of the week as well with your walkthrough, but, you know, put the heavier physical part in between, again, just to get that understanding you need. Because a lot of times when, you know, it comes down to it, when you're playing, as you get into the playoffs especially, and you're playing, you know, a like opponent, the talent, you know, maybe is leveled out a little bit between the teams, where during the season you're going to have, you know, some of those teams maybe that are really better than you and some teams that you know you're going to beat. Right now at this part of the season, I mean, everybody's there for a reason. So the mental part of it does become very important. And what we want, we don't want our guys overthinking. We do want them to get to the point where they can go out and be physical and play fast and play hard. But, you know, giving them maybe a little bit more mental at the beginning of the week to, again, limit the load of what's going on. I'm not saying go to a complete practice like that, but taking some time to walk through, to talk through those situations. And don't make it static. Move the ball around the field. You know, if you're going to be working open field plays, open field third downs, you know, set that up so it feels like that as you go through it and talk through those certain things.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, because it's, you know, you don't want to overwhelm your athletes. But at this point in the year, you know, unless you're installing some kind of new play because you're a trick play maybe for your rival, or again, in the playoffs, you're seeing something unique. When you're running your base stuff and you're thinking about, well, how do I sharpen the sword? A tactical understanding can be a great way to do that, of, hey, what are our goals here? What are we trying to do here? You know, what do we expect from the defense here? Not in an overwhelming, but just the general football IQ. The more prepared for the situation they are, you know, the better. It's the, you know, the age old, the offense is on the fringe of field goal range. And everyone on both coaching staffs knows that this is a great time to blitz, because if we get home, we're going to knock them out of field goal range. And, you know, if they get the ball or get the first down, they're going to be in field goal range anyway, so we're not really sacrificing a lot. And then you start to think, like, I wonder how many of the guy players on the field are thinking, hey, this is a great blitz down. And so are we talking through those scenarios? You know, are we saying, hey guys, on third down package, like, we expect this, we expect these things. Again, you practice it, you're aware for everything situationally, but at this point in the year, you're always trying to sharpen your skills, but I think it really becomes about execution. You know, I was talking to a college performance coach, you know, who's not a tactical coach, but is just, you know, watching the game from that view. And he's saying, hey, this point of the year and this conference, you know, the people that play the best football, you know, the mistake-free football, that's really what's winning right now. You know, it's not about your first round draft choices or your talent. Like, those guys are great, but to win these high level games, to your point, these playoff caliber games, it's who's going to play the best football. How do we go about playing the best football? I think we rep what we need to rep. We keep the sword sharp. We don't necessarily need to overwork our guys. And then we make sure that everyone is comfortable with what we're going to do, what our goals are, and what we're trying to accomplish, so they can play to what we're trying to accomplish. And I think if players know that, they feel a little more comfortable with what they're trying to get done. And then on the sideline, to the point we started today off with, you're going to have to continue to remind them because of the emotion of the moment, right? There's no doubt, right, that we know that on gap schemes, we're going to press it from inside to out, but in the heat of the moment, right? So those gentle reminders, those keeping guys engaged, think floating around social media. Everyone is seeing the Monday night clip of Bill Belichick talking to the Patriots defense. At this point, they're up 24-0, but they're still locked in and focused on the process. And I think these kind of ideas where you can plant the seed early in the week, like you said, remind them, that allows you to have that conversation on the side of the field that kind of centers everybody, takes a deep breath, brings them back to relaxation. Hey, fellas, no worries. Hey, we just got off the field. The other team got a big stop. We come back, the offense, we take a deep breath. Hey, third down, boys, we know the package. We know what we're trying to accomplish. You know, boom, 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 we're going to hit that third and six next time. Here's the goals. Here's what we're looking at. I think it just helps communication, and that helps the athletes stay calm because they've heard the message before. Trying to change in the heat of battle becomes the challenge when everything's on the line. And for our seniors, again, you know, the careers are potentially over.
Yeah, Andy, some really great points there. And you know, Andy, to tie up this whole idea, it is about just, you know, what we've named this series at, being deliberate about what you're doing. And I think, again, focusing on that maybe a little bit more earlier in the week, putting the mental load before the physical load, which, you know, typically we'll have a meeting, we'll install some things in a meeting, we're out on the field, boom, we're going after it. But slowing it down a little bit at the beginning of the week for those critical situations in these big games. And again, the emphasis, as you said, throughout the game, keeping them calm, keeping them focused on what they need to do, I think is a big part of game day coaching. We mentioned some systems here, our tackling system, our advanced tackling system, our contact system for blocking and defeating blocks. Those are available at footballdevelopment.com. Even late in the year, I think those things can prove beneficial to you. There's a lot of, you know, refined techniques in there that you could work on a little bit now and carry those into the offseason as well. All this stuff is designed to be done without pads and really to be done in conjunction with your strength and conditioning program in the offseason. So you are working on building skill. That doesn't have to wait till January. Get going on that right now at footballdevelopment.com. Andy, it was great to spend time with you as usual. Some great pointers today for coaches as we get late into the season.
As always, Coach, love chatting. Best part of my week, get to talk a little ball here in the office. But to the listeners, again, thanks for joining us. We close out on these seasons, and for those big playoff games, good luck to everyone, and we'll speak again next week.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.